If you have your Bible, and if you haven't a Bible, there's one in front of you in the pew, pick it up and turn with me to the following scriptures. We usually read together, but I have some scriptures I want to emphasize, so I will just read them to you. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23 to 25. And the Lord Jesus Christ, said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if they gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 33. "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 37. "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the final portion, John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 25 and 26. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And God shall stamp with his own approval this reading from his very own infallible word. Amen. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. The Gospel according to Luke at the chapter 9 and at the verse 23. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The marching orders of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. The true disciple of Christ is true when he proves it by his devotion and by being an obedient follower of his Lord. The terms of discipleship are spelt out in the clearest possible manner by the Lord himself. And as we have noticed in our scripture reading, in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these terms of discipleship are clearly enunciated and emphasized. Please notice all of these people who are summoned to be disciples of Christ are all volunteers. There's not a conscript among them. The emphasis is crystal clear. In this 23rd verse of Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, he addressed these words to them all. Christ makes no exceptions. None are excluded but those who exclude themselves. Child of God, have you volunteered for Christian discipleship? Have you obeyed the marching orders of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I want to draw your attention this morning in this sermon to what it really means to follow the Lord fully. First, notice the position of following Christ. Christ must always come first. Mark carefully his words. If any person will come after me, underscore the word after. We don't come before the Lord. We come after the Lord. The path of discipleship is not a path that the disciple constructs for himself. That path has already been constructed by Christ. It's Christ's very own road. And he made it and constructed it for you to follow him. Christ makes the way. Christ leads in the way. Christ is always first in the way. I must decrease, he must increase, as John the Baptist said. What does Christ mean when he demands us to follow him? One, we are to follow him by unshakable allegiance to all his teachings. It is a following of Christ as our teacher. We do not follow Christ If we take the path of what is pathetically so-called a new line of thought, there is no new line of thought with Christ. It is the old way. It's the way of the cross that leads home. The apostate churches of our day are filled with impious fools who set themselves up as critics of the Son of God. They find fault, as Mr. Spurgeon used to say, with the faultless Christ. They brazenly try to correct the infallible Christ. Such a person cannot be following Christ at all. He is rather doing the devil's work and is in fact an apostle of hell's pit. Instead, may we really follow Christ, we must believe not some of his doctrines. We must believe them all. We have to be like the old soldier Hittai in 2 Samuel 15, 21. And when everybody was failing and rejecting King David, that old warrior stood with sword in hand and with shield before him. And he said, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. That is the allegiance that the Lord Jesus expects from his followers. Through floods and flame, if Jesus leads, I'll follow where he goes. Hinder me not, shall be my cry, though earth and hell oppose. This is the true following of Christ. But following Christ not only involves unshakable allegiance to all the doctrines of Christ, but it secondly demands devoted obedience to the commands of Christ. Listen to this exhortation that came from Christ's mother's lips. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That exhortation needs to be obeyed by every child of God. I was thinking of that obedience. It's prepared obedience. It's perfect obedience. It's practical obedience. It is personal obedience. It is prompt obedience. It is perpetual obedience. It is purifying obedience. Ours is not to reason why. Ours is to give our devoted obedience to all the commands of Christ. Christ is our absolute master. We are his slaves and we must obey him. Remember what the Bible teaches. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To follow Christ is not only to have unshakable allegiance to all his doctrine and courageous obedience to all his commands. But thirdly, a tenacious adherence to his cause. We must cling to Christ's cause with all our strength and all our might. Only by this can we be faithful in our service to our royal master. If any man would serve Christ, he must courageously follow him. If on my face, for thy dear name, shame and reproach shall be, I'll heal reproach. I'll welcome shame if thou remember me. That is the true service in deed and in truth. Could I say that there must be preparation to follow Christ? Listen intently to this commandment. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Self-denial is an act for which we are all personally responsible. No one can do that for you. You must do it for yourself. All things which we know, which keep us at being our best for Christ, we must deny ourselves of them. All selfishness, all fleshliness, all worldliness. Self-denial must be the rod of obedience for us. We must measure up to Christ's command. We must not let one act of sin determine us from our self-denial. Remember what the Holy Book of God has said, Romans 6 and verse 4. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Self-denial now. Self-denial today. Self-denial tomorrow. Self-denial for our lifetime. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let us now turn to the prop that is given to us in following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The prop in following Christ is to take up our cross. Please notice, this cross is your cross. To take up his cross daily. Everyone has a cross in life, particularly and especially his own. Our cross is our prop in following Christ. We must shoulder it each morning and discharge it each evening. This is our daily occupation. Take up our cross daily. This cross is especially ours. No one else can carry it. There can be no shunning of this essential and Christ-required deed. There are no holidays from cross bearing. Others have their own crosses, but we can't carry them. We must carry our own. Remember, it's the way of the cross that leads home. Let us not shun our daily cross bearing. It is sweet to know as I onward go that the way of the cross leads home. It was Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, who wrote the words, "His dying crimson like a robe spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me." But there's a path here. What is the path? Take up his cross daily and follow me. I have heard him and observed him, seen his beauty, rich and rare, seen his majesty and glory, and his grace beyond compare. What have I to do with idols when such visions fill my eye? How he occupied with shadows when the substance passes by. Only by a close-up communion with Christ daily can we know the fullness of his beauty and the wonder of his grace. I was struck this morning in my own private meditation with that great word concerning the young man, the youngest of all the apostles, at about the age of 17, he sat with Christ in the upper chamber for the first communion. And he laid his head on the Savior's breast. And I was struck with the fact that hours before the cross, there was only one man that heard the heartbeat of Christ was the man that put his head upon his breast. If you're going to be a true disciple of Christ, you must be like John. You must shut out all of this world, and you must hear the heartbeat of God. Only by such close communion can we follow Jesus. Mr. Spurgeon once said to his people these telling words, "O you who are beginning to be fond of human wisdom, you cannot have heard him speak of late, or else he would have to be made of God unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. O you who are seeking to live for self and earthly gain, your heads have not been lately pillowed on the Savior's bosom. You have not recently looked into those dear eyes which are more radiant than the glories of any morning. You cannot have known the fragrance of those garments with the smell of their myrrh and the aloes and the cassia, or you would never be enamored with this poor, foul, unsavory world. I have heard him and observed him. What have I to do any more with idols?" The prophet said, "I have heard him say, I have loved thee with everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I have observed him go up to the cross and lay down his life for me. What have I to do with this world's idols?" When you, as the bride of Christ, loveth Christ, your husband, as you should, you would love him no matter how hard the path or how bitter the journey. When all of thy heart goes out after Christ as your well-beloved, when he enraptures these experiences and manifestations of his love and of his grace, then you will not need to say, what have I to do with idols? Because you have left the idols forever for the love of God's dear Son. Finally, there is a prize for those that are true disciples of Christ. Luke said, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed at that great day when the great throne is set up and Christ takes his place to judge his saints. Will he be ashamed of us? Or will he praise us for our faithfulness to him? There is only one way to save your life, and that is to lose it to Christ. Your life lost to Christ in time will be restored to you in eternity. It will be gloriously saved. It will be made like unto Christ's glorious body. Think of it. Your body, like the indescribable body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord of life and glory. No wonder Samuel Rutherford wrote the word, oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor, vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merit. I know no other stand, not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. I shall sleep sound in Jesus, filled with his likeness rise, to live and to adore him, to see him with my eyes. Between me and resurrection, but paradise does stand. And then for glory dwelling in Emmanuel's land. I have borne scorn and hatred. I have borne wrong and shame. Erst proud ones have reproached me for Christ's thrice blessed name. Where God his seal sets fairest, they stamped their foulest brand. But judgment shines like noonday in Emmanuel's land. When the judgment day comes, will you be found as a faithful, obeying servant of the Lord? The way is before you. Take up your cross daily. Deny yourself and follow after your Lord and Master. Then, like him, you will sit down in the Father's everlasting throne forever. If you're not a Christian, you've never been born again of the Spirit or washed in the Redeemer's blood, haste you this day to the cross. Run to that rock of ages that was cleft on Calvary, and hide yourself from the wrath of God, covered by the crimson of the Savior's righteousness and precious blood. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the solemn words that we have heard today from thy book, the requirements of a person that follows thee. I would follow thee, Lord Jesus. Though the night be dark, I would follow thee. Though the road be rough, I want to follow thee. I can't do without your presence. I can't do without your sweet words. I cannot do without your fond embraces and the perfectness of the glory of Emmanuel's Lamb. And for those in this gathering as yet unconverted, draw them to yourself. Wash them in the blood of the Lamb, and they shall be whiter than snow. Bless us now as we come to thy table to break the bread and drink the wine. We may really do it in remembrance of thee. And everybody said, Amen.